This is Coastal Community Church of Westport, Washington podcast, who, affiliated with Village Missions, are changing lives with the love of Christ and the power of His Word, with Pastor Tim Sander.
28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2, and verses 13 and 14. Now, I know as we look at this passage of Scripture that the Lord is talking to Israel. But I think the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
And, by the way, before I get started this morning, boy, you are very blessed people. I've been listening to a tape by Tim, Pastor Tim. He's good. I hope you keep him. He's really good, and I'm just enjoying very much listening to this CD by him. And I'm going to take, Mark's going to let me take a couple of more home with me, and I'll bring them back. But I just want to be able to listen to Pastor Tim. He's so good. I'm enjoying it so much. So Vince said I could, you're used to an hour's preaching, so Vince said I could go for two. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations on earth. All the blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Then verses 13 and 14. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Let's pray. Father, would you just add your blessing to the Word of God that we've read this morning? And would you add your blessing to the words that I share this morning? Because without you, Father, we can do nothing. And you know the hearts of everyone that's here today. You know the need of everyone that's here today. You know their joys and you know their pains. You know their anxieties. And you know those who are trusting you this morning for some thing to happen in their lives or some need that they have given to you today. So God, as we come together as your people, bless us as we spend these few moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I love America, and I know you do too. I'm thankful for the privilege of being born in this great nation. Yeah, I do think it's a great nation. I think it's a wonderful nation. And I think it's a privilege to live here. I believe that America has done more for other nations than any other nation on earth. I think we've sacrificed more for other nations than any other country in the world. I believe America stands for things. I think we stand for freedom. We stand for opportunity. We hope, security, and God. But the God of the Bible. Not God, but the God of the Bible. We stand for that God. I believe that the problem is that we take these things for granted. And I believe the best thing we can do is go back and study our history. What about our forefathers, our fathers? What did they think of America? What did they think of God? What did they think of the church? And if they were here today, what would they think? And I want us to go back this morning, but I don't want to go back with the Revised Version. I want us to go back and look at history as it unfolds. And I want to use the words and the letters of the men and women who form this great country. Because if we get what they believe, what they looked at, then we can understand what we should believe and what we should look at. I said that America is great. And the reason I think America is great is because of our Christian heritage. Get that? Christian heritage. That has made America great. I believe America is great because God has blessed this nation with men and women of faith who publicly and privately honor God. I don't mean any harm in saying this, but I probably would fall out of my chair if somebody in the Senate or Congress this morning would stand up and say, "Let's begin this by prayer. Let us look to God. Let us trust God to get us out of this mess that we're in." I think for some reason, somewhere along the way, that got lost. And we need to understand that if this nation is going to be great, it will not be great without the God of the Bible. America's founding was set upon spiritual concrete. And yet today, perhaps this nation sits upon spiritual quicksand. There's no lack of evidence that this country was founded on Christian principles. For example, if you were able to go to Washington, D.C., and go to the Washington Monument, and if you were able to get to the top of the Washington Monument, on the top there is a metal cap, and on that cap it says, "Praise be to God." Praise be to God. Do you remember Patrick Henry, who lived from 1736 to 1799? Remember him for saying, "Give me liberty or give me death." He also said this. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Pardon me, who said that? Patrick Henry said that. Not by religionists, but by Christians. And yet we're told today, and I have heard it been said today, "Well, you know, we're not a Christian nation." We're not a Christian nation. We're told that religion should not enter into the affairs or the state of public education. In other words, the affairs of state, we don't need you, God. Public education, we don't need you, God. Forgive me. So, since we don't need God in our state, or at a state department, or whatever department, and we don't need God in our schools, what has happened? We're in a mess. We're in a mess. Now, I know your school is different, but we're in a mess. If we go back to the Mayflower Compact, which was in 1620, and if we read of their idea as to their purpose for establishing a colony, we read the following. Listen to this. "We whose names are underwritten have undertaken for the glory of God." This is back in 1620. "Undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." The advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and of one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic. The glory of God is mentioned, the Christian faith is mentioned, and the presence of God is mentioned. Do you think they knew what they were focusing on? I think it'd be good and beneficial if we could go back, and I wish we could go back. I wish I had time to tell you about a lot of our fathers and some of the things they said and their thoughts on this nation, but I will share just a few. Noah Webster, what is he known for?
Dictionary.
Pardon?
Dictionary.
Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary. He said the following: the moral principles and precepts contained in the Scriptures, ought to form the basis of all of our civil constitution and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Word of God, contained in the Bible. Wow. Noah Webster. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history," listen, "that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." Abraham Lincoln said that. Those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord. Let me give you one more. Charles Malik was one of the ambassadors to the United Nations from Lebanon. And he put it this way: the good, and he's talking about the United States, the good in the United States would never have come into being without the blessing and the power of Jesus Christ. I know how embarrassing, now listen to what he says, "I know how embarrassing this matter is to politicians, bureaucrats, businessmen, and cynics. But whatever these honored men may think, the irrefutable truth is that the soul of America at its best and highest is at its best and highest Christian." I mean, this is a foreigner who come to our country as an ambassador and studied our country. And after he studied our country, he was wondering why America is so great. This is how what he says about why America is so great: because we did it with the blessings and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know, and I don't like saying this, but something's happening in America. Do you feel a change taking place in America? And do you feel a change is taking place that's not good? As you read your paper and you watch the news or turn on your computer or your iPad or whatever you're into right now and look at all of this stuff, there's a lot of stuff out there. You see that we're not getting better, we're getting worse. My granddaughter's husband is a Seattle policeman. And I don't know if you pay any attention to the news in Seattle, but they have one or two killings every night. And my granddaughter told me that, she said, "You don't get the half of it. There's a lot of things they don't even report." In fact, I think the week she was talking to me, my other grandson told me that week there had been 3 suicides. One jumped off a bridge into the path of cars on I-5, and they didn't even report that. We're living in a violent world, aren't we? Why is this? Why is it that we're having such problems today? Well, I copied something down. I want to share it with you. The second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled about a year ago that a public school could bar a church from renting its space after hours, while other groups could rent the space if they were not using it for worship. The court said that the schools were not discriminating against religious points of view, but simply banning a type of activity, that is, religious worship services. The Fifth U.S. Court of Appeals reversed the judge's ruling that banned prayer on a Texas public school graduation ceremony. Including in that ban by this judge was you could not use the words prayer, bow your heads, invocation, benediction, join in prayer, or amen. About that time, there was a high school valedictorian. Her name was Angela, and she prayed her prayer. Remember, they can't say these words. But she prayed her prayer, and at the end of her prayer, she ended it with, "In Jesus' name I pray, amen." Then another one at a high school where they would not allow the graduating class to use God in any way in any service. At the end of the speech, the valedictorian suddenly had to sneeze. And when she sneezed, the whole audience rose up and said, "God bless you." Oh, bless their hearts. You know, why? Well, man has turned away from God, right? Man has turned away from God. Man has turned away from Christ. Man has rejected the Word of God. Man has rejected the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of that, let me read. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5. And this is what we read. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." Goodness, how did he know about our day? So what happened? When you turn away from God, there will be a decline of your nation. There will be a decline of the family. There will be a breakup of the family. And there will be a decline of faith. I don't like to say that. That's no fun to say that. But that's what's happening in America today. And I'm not saying that because we have no hope. We have a lot of hope. And so we'll get there. I haven't got to that part yet, but we'll get there. But I just want you to know what's happening in America today. I mean, let's take off our rose-colored glasses and let's look at things as they really are. And know what we're up against and know how, as Christians, how we are to stand against these things that are happening in our country today. And yes, I know if you stand against them, it's going to cost you. Don't think it won't cost you. It will. But somewhere, somehow, some way, some of us are going to have to stand up and be counted. Have any of you heard of Dr. Jeffers? He is the pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. Well, did you know that he has made a stand? And boy, have they slammed him for making a stand. How many of you have heard of Randy Alcorn? If you get any books by Randy Alcorn, buy them and read them. He was a pastor. And he spoke out against homosexuality. And they came at him. They sued him from any and every angle they could sue him. He had to resign. To save his church, He had to resign from his church. And all the money he had, he lost. He was almost penniless. But God has provided for him because God has given him the ability to write. And I think, I might be wrong, but I think even now that a lot of the money that he gets from writing his books goes to paying off these people who sued him. They got by with it. So if you're going to stand for the Lord, beware of the fact that one day God will say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." And that's what we want to hear. I don't want to hear what man says to me. I mean, Mike can say, come up and pat me on the back and say, "Oh, Pastor, you're so good." Doesn't mean a cotton picking thing. I appreciate it, but it doesn't. What I want is when the Lord says, and he pats me on the back and said, "Okay, Bill, you did all right." Amen? And that's what you want to hear. So don't be afraid of... We are. How many of us fear men? How many of us fear to say anything to anyone about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us would like to, but we just don't? Because of, well, I don't know, I might hurt their feelings, or I might make them mad, or I might lose a friend. Well, it might be better to lose a friend so that if they reject Jesus Christ and go to spend forever without Christ, then to be able to point a finger back and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" Man today is kind of revising America's history. We have been taught a different story about our past. We are told that the men who founded this country, they did not want to mix Christianity and Christian beliefs in bringing America to birth. Well, I can prove that's wrong. All you have to do is go back to our forefathers and listen to what they said. I wrote another one down somewhere. I'll find it later. But men today are revising the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many churches are turning away from sound biblical doctrine. They go light on abortion. They approve the homosexual lifestyle. They approve a marriage between two men or two women. And I'm telling you, and you don't have to believe me, but I'm warning you that eventually it's going to come down to group marriage. I mean, they've just taken it step by step. Step by step. And they're winning. Not really, but it looks like they're winning. So man is revising what we believe. They teach that there are many ways to God. That is, come on, you Christians are so hypocritical. They're all roads lead to God. How many of you believe that? All roads lead to God? Okay. What am I going to do with John 14:6? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay, we just throw that out. I mean, he died on the cross. He was buried. He arose the third day. Who cares? Throw it out. How about Acts 4:12? "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Oh, throw it out. Because we don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be tolerant. We want to love everyone. And yes, as Christians, we should love everyone. Amen? That's a call that we have to love everyone. We don't have to love what they do, but we have to love them. And what's so disturbing is that these Christians, and there are Christians that are revising the gospel. There are many churches today that are changing the gospel because they want to be popular. They want to be liked. And the thing that disturbs me is that these Christians howl if you harm an animal, but are silent when it comes to abortion. Does that make sense? They reject the Scriptures. They reject the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They reject the judgment of God by denying that there is a hell. There is no hell. I was reading one recently. He was saying that, in the end, Christ died for all. So all are going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to go. Then why is there a hell? Why did Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me? Why did He say that if there's no hell? Why did He die on the cross if there's no hell? Oh well, I'm confused. I know. I'm sorry. I'm all messed up. I need to listen to what these guys are saying, I guess. Consequently, since everyone is going to heaven, you guys, you preachers, you don't need to preach about the cross anymore. We got it made. We're all going to heaven. So I believe today, really, and I believe that our nation is heading in the wrong direction. I think our morals are going south. I mean, fast. It's hard to watch TV, isn't it? It is so immoral. It really is. And you know what I mean. It's beyond me to say. My personal belief, though, is that we cannot shake our fist in the face of God, but only so long. Did you know that? You can't mock God, but only so long. You can't laugh at God, but only so long. You can't deny the Word of God, but only so long. And He catches up with you. And I have another thought. It's just a simple thought. And if I'm wrong, you can pick me up and throw me out. But boy, I tell you, if we abandon Israel, look out. So, are we without hope? Are we as a nation on the way down with no hope? And let me tell you, let me put it this way. You know what I believe? I don't know if this nation will survive or not. I don't know. I do know when I turn to my Bible and I read my Bible, I don't find us in the last days. And that's troublesome. It's kind of scary, isn't it? I'm not saying we're not there, but I'm saying I don't see it. Others do. Some do. Some refer to Revelation chapter 18, and they think that it refers to America. But if it does, it's terrible. But I don't think it does. I don't know about America, but what about you? What about you? Just know that in the last days, what will come? Perilous times. And it will be that opportunity that you have as a Christian to live your life as salt and light in a dark world. Maybe we won't save the world, but maybe we can save one here and there. Amen? And maybe that one will make the difference. So you and I have the opportunity as we look around not to despair, not to get down, not to give up, not to say, oh, well. You and I have the opportunity to ask the Lord to use each one of us to be that salt and light in the world in which we live. It might be you that will win. Maybe you'll only win one person to Christ, but if you win that one person to Christ, that one person might be the one that turns things around. Think of Charles Spurgeon. Everybody loves Spurgeon. You love Spurgeon, don't you? You know who really had an influence in Spurgeon's life? I didn't know this till just recently. They said, he was saved in a church where this man converted him to Christ. But you know who had a bigger influence? There was a lady. An elderly lady who kind of took him under her wing before he was saved, who was a Christian lady. And she spent time with Charles and talked to Charles and helped him to understand about Christianity. And to show you how much influence she had in his life, when she got old, Charles Spurgeon paid to keep her living. I mean, he took care of her expenses for her. That's how much the influence that elderly lady, well, I don't, you know, Tim, she was elderly. She's probably Margot's age. You said that. But anyway, you might be that person. You might be that one man or that one woman that will reach out and touch one life that makes a difference. Think of that. What a privilege that would be. I believe that as a nation, we can return to the faith of our fathers, but I think it's going to take work. Amen? It's going to take prayer. And I believe that we as Christians must stand for the truth, God's holy truth, and I believe that's going to take courage, real courage, to stand for Him. And we as a nation and as Christians must go to our knees in humility. And we need to pray. And we need to believe. Why pray if you don't believe? We need to pray and we need to believe that God can make a difference. And we need to come and confess our sins. Our sins and the sins of our nation. I don't know how much longer we can go if we continue to kill babies the way we're killing babies. I mean, why are we pointing the finger at Germany in World War II and said they killed the baby? Aren't we just as bad? Right? And we need to go back to the cross. And we need to go back to Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Judge, and our Deliverer. Thomas Jefferson said this, and I'm going to close, amen? Thomas Jefferson said this, "Indeed I tremble for my country." Thomas Jefferson said this long back. "Indeed I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever." Did you get that? He said, "I tremble for my country." Do you? "When I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever." Wow. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now, I'm going to say something and you're going to get mad at me for saying it, but I'm getting ready to run out of here, so it doesn't matter. I don't think it's Mother Nature that's causing these problems. I think it's the living God. And I think God has a judgment on this nation. I think that can be turned around as we go to Him in prayer and repentance. But there's too many things that are happening that are just unexplainable unless you believe in God. And I do. And He controls all things. Amen? So there are no accidents. God doesn't say, "Ooh, I didn't know that was going to happen. How did you get that done?" No. God has His hand on every single thing. And God can turn this around for us if we will come back to Him. Now, I know that you love the Lord. And I know that you love this country. I love the Lord. And I love this country. So maybe we can kind of covenant together when God, and do it this way, when God places it on your heart, And I pray that He will place it on your heart, that we pray for our leaders. I don't have to like them, but I can pray for them. Yeah, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for the governor of this state and legislators in Olympia. We need to pray for them. And we need to pray that God would show forth His mighty power and bring a revival that would shake this nation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that we can come before You in the name of our Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that You love us so much, that You have given us tremendous hope. And that hope is bound up in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe that there's going to be a rapture. And I pray that everyone here will be caught up and snatched away out of this old world. And I believe that, Heavenly Father, that we will be with You forever. But until that day, I also believe, Lord, that we are to live for You. That we are to be strong, we are to be courageous, and we are to be truthful, and we are to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with others. Give us the courage to do so, give us the ability to do so, and give us the mind to do so. And Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
Amen.
Amen.